Last week, we began the sugya of Not Bar Not, and we photocopied a number of pages from the Moreshes Moshe, some of which, if you don't have them in your possession, might be here in the archives, as I call them. And we began on page Tuf Kuf Yud Zayin. And we began to turn the page to Tuf Kuf Yud Ches. What I'd like to do is spend a few minutes just reviewing the three approaches that we outlined on page Tuf Kuf Yud Zayin, and then move on to the Mata Yonason on Tuf Kuf Yud Ches. After that, we get to the Prima Gadin. So we have a lot of work here cut out for ourselves, and I implore you to be with me here. I can't do this myself. It's got to be a joint effort. Okay, then? What are the three approaches to Not Bar Not? And when I say Not Bar Not, I'm talking about Shmuel, who says that after the fish has absorbed the tam of basar, it can nevertheless be used with kutach, with milchiks. The first approach, which is that of the Ramban, is what we call the tam shlishi approach, which means that tam sheni per se could be asur. Tam sheni per se could be asur. Bikuta. And the way we defined the Ramban was the following. That if the fish would be functioning as a direct conduit to bring the tam of basar into the chalav, then even Shmuel would agree that that's asur. Why? Because then the tam basar entering into the chalav would be called tam sheni, and tam sheni is asur according to the Ramban. However, in our case, he did not cook meat with fish in the same pot, such that if he now added the fish into a milchka pot, it would be a tam sheni, but rather he cooked the fish in a clean fleishka pot. That makes the tam of the fish itself a tam sheni. And then when he cooks the fish with kutach, or adds it to a milchka concoction, at that point we're up to tam shlishi. So the Ramban has a clear distinction between the following two cases. Case number one is where he cooks the fish with fleishiks. Now the fish has what's called a tam rishon of basar. Now when he cooks the fish with chalav, he has now a tam sheni, and tam sheni is asur. And therefore, what was saying in that case where he cooked the fish with meat is that the fish is now a conduit bringing the tam of the basar into the chalav. Hence, it's all asur. However, Shmuel's case, says the Ramban, is a case where the tam of the basar goes into the kli, from the kli into the dogim. And we have here a tam sheni of heter from the fish into the kutach. We end up with a tam shlishi. So far so good. And you'll see this on the bottom right column going on to the top of the left column. And he adds the point that the iser basar b'chalav requires that there be a nesinas tam zeh bazeh, which means that if the meat was cooked with the fish, and now the fish is being cooked with milk, then basically what's happening is that you have a mixture of two tamim, the tam of the basar into the chalav, and the tam of the chalav into the basar. That's called Iser basar b'chalav b'nosnin tam zebazen. Ad kana kofa alef. Now we get to the Ramban in the name of Acherim. And they claim that even a Tam Sheni could never generate an Iser Basar B'Chalav. Hence, even if I cook the fish directly, simultaneously with Basar in one Kara, and then I put the fish together with the Kutach, but nevertheless the combination of the fish with the Kutach is called Tam Sheni. And that's mutter. Why? Because tam sheni cannot generate an isur in the case of heter bola. Again, tam sheni in the case of shari surim, where he took nevela and he cooked it together with basar shchuta, that basar shchuta is a tam sheni, which if it were cooked in a third pot would generate an Iser of Nevela. That's because we have here a piece of Basa Shchuta that has accepted, received directly a Tam of Basa Nevela, and now it serves as the conduit to bring that Basa Nevela, which is a Tam Rishon, into the second Kedera of another mixture of Basa Shchuta, which is now considered a Tam Sheni.
That's what is it?
And the Acherim claim that a Tam Sheni is not Asur in the case of Heter Bola. So when is a Tam Sheni Asur? That's only the case of what? Of Nevela, which is called Isura Bola. And in Isura Bola, if the Basa Shchuta plays the role as an intermediary, I called it, to bring the Tam of the Vela into the second Kedera of Basa Shchuta, then in that case we're going to say a Tam Sheni of Iser is Asur. And Tam Sheni is like Tam Rishon. But in the case of Basa B'Chalav, according to the Acherim, even though you cook the fish together with meat in the same pot, and now the fish, when it's added to the Kutach, is playing the role as the intermediary, but nevertheless, it's going to be a Tam Sheni because the Tam of the Basar is now in the Dogim. Now you're going to take the Tam of the Basar that's in the Dogim and connect it with the Tam of Cholov. That's a Tam Sheni. But here we have a case of a Heterim Bola because the Tam Rishon in the fish, meaning the Basar into the fish, is a Heterim Bola. And a Heterim Bola cannot generate an Iser of Tam Sheni. So again, according to the Acherim of the Ramban, as a general universal rule, Tam Sheni would be awesome. But the exception to the rule is going to be Basa B'Chalav by virtue of the halacha of Hetera Bola. And therefore Tam Sheni will be mutter in the case of Hetera Bola. Whereas the Ramban himself rejecting the Acherim holds that a Tam Sheni, even in Basa B'Chalav, is Asur. It's only a Tam Shlishi, which means that the fish never really received a Tam Rishon of Basa, because the fish were not cooked with what? With Basa, but rather in a fleshing a pot. So it's the pot that received the Tam of the Basar, and the fish receives a Tam Sheni of Basar, and now the fish, together with the Kutach, establishes a Tam Shlishi, and Eitam Shlishi is Mutter. That's going to be the sheet of whom? Of the Ramban. But the sheet of the Acherim of the Ramban is that even Eitam Sheni is Mutter in the case of Heter Bola. Hence, even if you cook the fish directly with the Basar in the same pot, where the fish now passes on that Tam over to the Kutach, it becomes Eitam Sheni. That's called Heter Bola. Ad kana kofa shtayim. Now we get to Hakofa Gimel. And we're saying once again that a Tam Sheni itself, in the case of Basa B'Chalav, is not enough to generate an Isur. However, if the Basar and the Dogim were cooked together in the same pot, then you cannot, even Shmuel would agree, you're not allowed to cook the fish together with dagin, or put it into the kuta. And the reason for that is, and this is Rabbi Kivega's shita, is that we don't need that the tam go in two directions, both from the basar into the cholov and vice versa. That's what he calls here the Moreshes Moshe. You'll see it on the third line. It repeats itself at the end of this paragraph, paragraph number Gimel. That ain't tzarch sheyitnu tam ze bozeh. So what that means is that according to this third shita, we fundamentally agree to the achirim of the Ramban that in basar v'chol v'tam sheni would not be asur. But the exception to the rule is when you cook cholov with basar, right? That's already basar v'chol v'doraisa. But what he's saying is that if you cook the fish with the basar, basically when you add the milk as another another variable into the equation, what you have is the cooking effect of real tam basar with tam cholov. And in that case, we're not talking about a tam sheni, but rather we're talking about two tamim that are simultaneously coexisting. This reminds me of the case of dishwashing, if you recall. And there was a gigantic machlokas whether or not we could put fleishik kekelim, assuming there's no be'en, and milchik kekelim, there's no be'en. They're both b'nei yomon, and we can cook them, so to speak, together, meaning we can wash them together with a fire underneath. And there were those shitas who said that that's asur, and the reason for that is, just one second, there are those who say that that's asur. Why? Just one second, I'm sorry, I got myself a little bit confused here, just one second. There are those who would say that if you don't need... Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go back a step. I told you that he was cooking, meaning he was washing both fleishik and milchik pots at the same time. I cross that out. We're talking about bezecher zeh. First he cooks fleishiks, if you follow what I mean. He takes a fleishik, a clean pot, and he puts it into the dishwasher, right? So he's got hot water that's being heated by a fire, and he's taking a fleishika pot, and he's cleaning it in that water. Now, he removes the fleishika pot, and he wants to put a milchika pot in the same water. So that those who say that that's asur, and the reason for that is because both the basar and the chalav of the two different kederos are both giving that tam into the mayim. So the mayim is now receiving two tamim, both the tam basar and the tam chalav. And now, what we're going to say is the following. That if we go with the shita of... Just one second. Of the shita of the Ramban, what was the Ramban shita? That if you cook fish in a fleishika pot, you're allowed to use the fish with milchiks, because that's already tam shlishi. Here, the Ramban would say that it's also why? Because in the case of fish where the tam sheni is trying to give a tam of basar into the chalav, that's mutter because there's no exchange of two tamim. It only goes in one direction. That's what he says on the top. Dileka iser basar b'chol v'alkeim nosin tam ze bazeh. But in the case of the milchika and fleishika pots, both of which were washed in the same mayim, then what you're going to have is that there's a tam basar and a tam cholav shenosin tam ze bazeh. They're both giving tam into the mayim. Nafkemina, he says, "B'meiniach machol chalavi b'kedera b'saris." So watch what happens now. He's got a hot pot, and he's got a hot cheese. The hot pot was used for fleishiks. It's now clean of any fleishiks, but it's a ben yomo. And he puts a piece of cheese down on this pot, is that cheese also? Well, let's go back to the first opinion, that of the Ramban. In this case, the tam of basar and the tam of chalav are mixing simultaneously. Does everybody see that? There's no intermediary here. The Ramban, in his understanding of Shmuel, holds that the first tam ended where? The first tam of basar, where did it stop?
In
the fish. No, again, I'm trying to explain Shmuel according to the Ramban. Shmuel according to the Ramban wants to set up a tam shlishi. How does he achieve this goal? Because he's saying the tam basar ends up where? Only in the dogen. Here, in our case where he puts a piece of cheese down on the fleshik pot, you can't say that there was some sort of stop, you know, which the two tamim were separated one from the other. The tam really went into the basar, and from the basar into the cholov, and there's no nesidas tam zebazet. Here there's nesidas tam zebazet. Let's go according to the Acherim. According to the Acherim, certainly everything should be mutter, because according to the Acherim, even a tam sheni does not generate an iser if it's heterim bola. And if we go with the third shita, once again we're insisting that in a case of a tam sheni, the tam sheni doesn't have the power to generate an iser basa b'cholov if it's heterim bola, which is our case. So what you have here is the tam of the basa going into the kedera, and now the kutach, or the cheese, is now being put on top of this kedera. So if you take a look, he says, l'deya aleph osur, denithas lemachol tam shel basar. Right, there's a tam basar that's entering into the cheese, so the cheese and the basar are combining two different tamim. But l'deya beis v'gimel shari, why? Kema shetam basar hu tam sheni, which he calls a tam kolush, therefore tam kolush, as long as it's hetera, could not generate an iser basar b'chol. So that even if I go with the third shita, which differentiates between the following two cases where he cooked meat and fish in the same pot, as opposed to a case where he cooked fish in a fleshing pot
without meat in it.
Right, and there's no meat in it. So in this case, where he puts down the gvina on top of the fleshing pot, then it's going to be mutter. And the reason for that is because we have here a tam sheni. Why do we have a tam sheni? Because the tam went from the basar into the kedera. Not like the case of the fish where the tam went directly into the fish because he cooked the fish together with meat in the same pot. But rather he cooks meat in the pot. The tam of basar goes into the walls of the kedera. Now from the walls of the kedera it goes into the kutah. Well, at that point it's already a tam sheni. Okay, let's now turn to page Tav Kuf Yud Tes. I'm sorry, Yud Ches. Okay then, the flip side of your page. He has here a chiddush from the Mata Yonah son. And it's a subtle distinction here. We said that according to the Acherim, quoted by the Ramban, even in a case where he cooks meat and fish in the same pot, he's still allowed to eat that fish with milchiks. Again, we don't paskin like the Acherim because it's two against one. But he says that this shita would agree in the following case. Kli she'ein bo tam upleita mitzad atzmo is al korchach mashibola mashinivla bekedera havi ki ilu kulo konus bekedera vahavi tam rishon. So the Acherim of the Ramban view the dogim as a conduit, so to speak, as an intermediary that's carrying the tam of the basar into the chalav, and that's called tam sheni. But, says the Mata Yonason, there's one case where even the Acherim would agree that it's called Tam Rishon. And he calls it a Kli She'ein Bo Tamu Pleito Mitzad Atzmo. Let's assume that this Kli was never used. It's a brand new Kli. So you come home from the, you know, from the Klei Bayit store with this new Kedera, and you cook meat in it. He says, "Mashenivla b'kedera, havi ki'ilu kulo konus b'kedera, v'havi tam rishon." In other words, when you use a kli multiple times, then the tam of the basar in the walls of the kli, in this case basar, could be nevela as well, but if it's basar, is viewed as some sort of a, like an independent entity. We'll call it a tam. And then, when you cook fish, you're already up to tam sheni. However, we don't view, in this particular case, the tam that's balua in the walls of the kli as a separate entity, and call it a tam rishon, but rather we view it as the basar itself. What does it mean we view it as the basar itself? He says, ke'ilu kulo kadus b'kedera. In other words, it's as if you have a maximum amount of basar in this kedera. Imagine you have this gigantic pot full of meat. So you would not call that a tam rishon. He's saying that the same thing applies to a kedera. If the kedera has in it just that full, you know, pot of meat, meaning it, all it's absorbed was meat and only meat, because we're talking about a case of ein lo tam mitzad atzmo, then somehow magically we view that blia as if it was bas or mamish. So it's not even a tam rishon.
So again, it's a shame kli.
Could be. I wasn't thinking those terms, Yosef, but maybe you're right. I was just, you know, I don't know if the Mata Yonason was aware of this concept called shame kli. You know, he was before Reb Chaim, but just on a more shall we say technical level, mechanical level, he's talking about the fact that when, under what circumstances do we define the tam that's inside the kli as an entity unto itself, such that now when the tam goes into something else that you cook in the pot, we're up to tam sheni, right, which according to the Ramban in the name of the Acherim is Mutter in Bas Mecholov. That's only when the Tam in the Basar is, I'm sorry, the Tam in the Kedera, in the walls of the Kedera, is seen as an entity. You know, it's an entity of not Basar, but Tam Basar. So you've already dropped it by one level to the level of Tam Basar. Now you take the Tam Basar and you cook, you know, you cook, what should I say, parva fish in that pot, you're already up to a tam shady. But in a case where you never use the pot for anything other than basar, you never cooked anything, any parva, it's a brand new pot, and all you put in the pot is fleishiks, then he claims that that's as if you have the original tam of basar in this taromas. Okay, Rav Olson, I'm just mentioning the Mata Moshe, the Mata Yonason, and now we get up to the Prima Gadim. Says the Prima Gadim, how do we define this concept of Shmuel called Hetera Bala? We know that the Tam went, let's go quickly to all Rishonim, but with the exception of the Acherim. So the Tam went from the Basar into the walls of the Kli, and from the walls of the Kli into the Dagim, and it's still Mutter. We're already up to the stage of a Tam Sheni. Oh. Says the Prima Gadim, what are you telling me about this Tam Sheni? Are you telling me about this Tam Sheni that physically, in the world of physics, it's a Tam Kolush? It's a very weak tam, and therefore it doesn't have the power when it's mixed with cholov to generate an isur. You can't create an isur yesh me'ayin from a tam kolush. Or are we saying something halachic that al pi din that tam doesn't have the power to generate isur because it's already a tam sheni? Now, if you go with the second approach, what we're saying is that we don't have to do a study of physics and decide that the tam is really a tam kolush. We'll call it by the name tam kolush, but that's only a linguistic means of communication. That's the way that we communicate the idea that this tam could not generate an isur. But it's not really a tam kolush. It doesn't have to be a tam kolush. It's a halachic category. The first approach says, no, it's a tam kolush. What does that mean, it's a tam kolush? That when you cook the fish in this fleshika pot, what do you really taste? Taste fish. You don't taste the basa. It's too weak of a tam. So I'm also saying, what's going to be the nafkamina? What difference does it make whether you call it a tam kolush b'mitzius, or you say al pi din it's a tam sheni, which cannot, in the case of a terubola, generate an isur? Nobody's with me? How did I manage to lose you?
Even if it's not a tam kolush, it could still...
Oh, but so give me a hardcore nafkamina. You know, as we say, tachlis, you know... TOT, we used to call it, right?
But what, tish.
Right, right. What would be the nafkamina? Nobody has it? So, all right, so instead of my feeding it to you, let's read the Prima Gotam inside and then you'll tell me what the nafkamina is. He says the following.
Which paragraph is
this? This is Ushmuel Omar. It's about the fourth paragraph on the page, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You see the word chakar, so you might want to underline the word chakar because then you can add an A and a B or an aleph and a bays, depending on what your preference is. Chakar means, is it A or is it B? So let's go through A. A is that tam kolush in Shmuel means have a chisar b'koch ha-tam. It's just a weak tam, and that's why it's mutter. Oh, lefi zeh. He says, I'm skipping a line here just so that we don't get confused. Icha zinon de nirgash taima, if we can actually do a physical examination and determine that there is a tam of basar in the dogim, how would you do that, Rabosai?
Get a goy who's an expert.
Again, you don't even need a goy here in this case. Even a yid would be okay. Why? Because we're talking about fish.
Oh, of course. Right.
So what terrible catastrophe would happen if you ate this fish and you determined that, hey, there's a shmek of basa here. I'm tasting basa in the fish.
You didn't do anything wrong. You just determined
right.
that it has a
tam. Right, right, right. That's what I'm just pointing out, that you don't need a guy in this case. Right. Because, again, a guy is like an iffy thing. You have to know that he's a kfela, blah, blah, blah. Here it's a case of any Jew Anybody. Could taste the few and tell you it's a tam nirgash. Well, guess what? If it's a tam nirgash, then the entire thesis of Shmuel will fall apart in this case. Because Shmuel's talking about a case where there is no tam nirgash. But here, right, it's a tam kolish. But here, to our surprise, but guess what? Bingo. It's a tam nirgash. Oh. Right, if you skip down to Odilma, you see an Aleph Dalet, you know, Rashi Tevis. That's already the second side of the Chakira. Because again, in the middle here, he's going to waver back and forth as to whether or not there is such a reality that you don't... that you do in fact taste the basar in the doggin. But again, I don't want to confuse you for that. O Dilma, Havichisaron, what's the next word? Bidin. That's the word that you want to underline three times. Bidin. In other words, now we're going back to the principle of Tam ki ikar. The Torah says that the Tam is like the original Iser. Well, not in this case, because we're talking about a Tam Shemi, which is a Tam Kolosh, right? The Tam went from the meat into the Kalim, from the Kalim to the fish. In that case, that Tam is not called a Tam. Why? Because it's not the original Tam. Techi asra Torah. When did the Torah say tam ki ika? That's only a tam haba min hamamish, meaning you get it directly from the velo, from basar. Aval tam shady, where the tam went into the kli, and then from the kli it goes into the fish. That's not called tam ki ika. So it's hafka'a dinit. It's a halachic hafka of the status of tam ki ika. Do, according to that, what would be if he tasted the fish and lo and behold it has a taste of basar in it? Would it make any difference?
No.
No, it wouldn't make any difference at all. Why? Because it still is a tam sheni, and the Torah says al pidin that a tam sheni is not considered tam ki ikar. Tam ki ikar doesn't apply to a tam sheni. I'll be honest with you, Rabbi Osai, I thought originally, when I heard this chakira of the Prima Gadol, that the first tzad is correct, even though it's very foreign to my approach. And the reason why I thought so is because, let's take the case of the vela. Right? If he cooks the vela in a pot, and then he cooks basar kosher in that same pot, then we apply the principle of tam ki ikar. Well, what is that? It must be that this is eino nirgash hatam. Because if you're going to say it's hafka'a dinit, then it should apply to the vela as well. Meaning, if you have a halacha of tam ki ikar, and you're now limiting and restricting tam ki ikar, and it doesn't apply to a tam sheni, it shouldn't apply to a tam sheni in the case of nevela as well. If we're applying this halacha to nevela, then that would make sense if we look at it from the perspective of nirgash hatam. And then I completely rejected that. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I stopped.
Wouldn't you say that just like it's a din that if it's a hefter and it's tam kolush that we don't say tam ki ikar, if we say that if it's a nevela, then we don't go to that step and say that it's kolush.
And that would prove which tzad in the Prima Gadol. Do you follow what I'm saying? If you're talking about a mitzius, a reality of tam kolush,
that's the din.
Yeah. Then what difference would it make whether it's a tam kolish, a tam sheni of the vela that went into the pot, from the pot into the basar, or a case of fish with regard to tam, regard to terem bola and basar b'cholav. There's no difference. You're talking about a mitzius of a tam sheni nirgash. And if it's a tam sheni nirgash, then let's taste it and find out. We're going to check, we have the parameters and the ability to do so. But in that case, you're defining tam kikar as whether you have the hargosh satam or you don't have the hargosh satam.
Right.
In that case, there's no logical reason in the world to distinguish between basar b'cholav as a terabola and a vela as a surabola. But if I go with the second approach, that it's a din. So what is this din predicated on? It has nothing to do with nirgash or lo nirgash. It has to do with this chiddush of a tam sheni. Well, let's ask ourselves, what is the status of the tam sheni? If it's asur, right, because the tam went from the kli, the tam and the vela went in from the kli into the basar, then what we're looking at is tam ki ikar. That's exactly what the Torah calls tam ki ikar. If on the other end that we're talking about heter, because the tam of the basar went into the fish and it still remains heter, then you could say that the Torah doesn't consider that tam ki ikar, because the tam ki ikar that schleps us out to tam sheni only applies to a tam iser. The whole thing is just a halachic process of conceptual definitions and classifications.
But we always said that. Didn't we always say that there's a conceptual difference between Iser and Heter in terms of the power that it has. The din power that it has, not the actual power that it has.
Right, so the question now we have to address here, and we'll soon see the Ritva, is how did the Prima Gadol suggest or raise the possibility that Tam Kolish should be taken literally as a weaker Tam? And the exception to their rule would be in a case where you taste it and lo and behold, it's not such a weak tam, it's a tam nirgash. How is he going to justify a distinction between heterabola and isurabola? Meaning the Prima Gadol was no fool, if you follow what I mean. He was not, you know. The Prima Gadol was one of the most profound thinkers. In fact, we last week when we spoke about the sugya of a kedera she'ena bas yoma, with the case of a kafcho levis, for those of you who were with me, we had a machlokes between the Shach and the Bach, and the one who cracked it all open was the Prima Gadol. I mean, a very brilliant, profound way. But there are thousands of examples of the chidud, you know, the koach of analysis of the Prima Gadol. He was just a very profound thinker. The Ritva writes that Kolish Tfemi Recha, the Osim Amosho Shel Bosar. We have a principle called Recha Milsa. So let's say, for example, if you were to bake, let's say chametz okay, I don't want to get into the issues of a terebola and chametz, but let's say you were to cook nevela inside an oven, and now there's recha milsa, which means that there's a kind of reach of nevela inside the oven, and then now you cook basar heter shchuta inside the same oven, and now you have an issue called Recha Milsa, which is a machlokes in the sugya in the Gemara. Now, one by the other says that Recha Lav Milsa, and the Ritva is going to equate our case of Shmuel of Nat Bar Nat with Recha, and he's going to claim that in which of these two cases are we closer to the actual time. You know, the real McCoy Tom, in the case of Reach, or in the case of cooking fish in a flesh kapat. In which case are we, these two scenarios, are we closer to the original Tom? Anybody? In the case, Ritva says it's Reach. Why? Because in Reach you began in this oven with the actual basar or whatever you cooked in that oven. And he says that in the case of a Tam Kolush, which is a Tam Sheni in Basa Becholim, with the case where he cooks the fish in a flesh kapat, is Kolush Tvei. It's weaker on the totem pole. What word can we use in the hierarchy scale than Recha? Why? Because Recha is Asi Mamashal Shal Basa. You know, you started at least with a piece of mamish, and you got the Reach as a result of that mamish of Basa. Masha Einkein. Because he's not accepting the Acherim of the Rabban. Masha Enken, in the case of Shmuel, of Nat Bar Nat, there you're starting with this piece of fish with already a Tam Kolish without the Mamosho Shel Bosa. The Mamosho Shel Bosa is long gone when you first cooked in the pot on, you know, the Fleshka pot on the first round. He says, the Ritva says, Velo Yoveh Tama Klal Bekutach Shehu Shlishi. And now that you've weakened the tam, because it went from the basar into the kli, and from the kli into the fish, and now you're putting the fish together with kutach, which is already a third level, he says there won't be any tam. Basically what the Ritva is saying is that if you take this kutach, which now has in it a piece of fish, you will not in any way taste the meat in the fish. Why? Because it was already a Tam Kolush before it entered into the Kutach as a Tam Shlishi. And the Ritva, in the rest of his paragraph, he seems to repeat himself over and over again. Says the Mishmeres, I'm sorry, the Moreshes Moshe, on the end of the third line here, Mevuar Kitzad Echad. What does it mean, Kitzad Echad? That, of the base of the Prima Gadol, namely that what? What does Tam Kolish mean? Hello? In the first side of the Prima Gadol. Am I just screaming and no one's listening to me? Is this like the that tree that fell in a forest and nobody was there to hear it? You know? like Rav Osai, hello, are you? You're just being nice to me because you don't want to make me foolish by asking a question the answer to which is so simple that you don't think such a dumbbell like me would even ask the question. So instead of insulting me, you decide not to answer my question. Is that what goes on here?
Absolutely.
What? Again, Rav Osai, how did I know that? Okay. Rav Osai, I'm trying to justify that I'm working hard here. It's Hanukkah. We still have a few hours left of Hanukkah.
The first part of the premix.
Excellent. Metzius. You see that in the Ritva clearly, because the Ritva is saying that the reason why this Tam Kolish is mutter when the fish is cooked with the kutach is because there's going to be less of a taste in the kutach of the original basa than in the case of Recha Milsa. Because in the case of Recha Milsa, where there was a mamashis of basa to begin with, I can smack the taste of the basa inside the oven. That's called Recha Milsa. But here, it went from Tam Sheni to Tam Shlishi. He says, Ritva, forget it. There's no one, unless you were Navi, there's no way that you could taste the basar in the kutach. Is Mavur Kitzad Aleph, that the Ritva is operating with the first tzad in the Prima Gadim, the Rosh Yosef. Vahosif, now the Rosh Yosef says that it's not just the Ritva, but it's also the Pri Chadosh. He says, Kevan Shehukla Shatam Shari, that the reason why it's mutter is because there's a weakening of the Tam. And a weak Tam is Ein Bokach Lesar. Which means, again, that if I would give it to someone to taste, and he would say, well, listen, guess what, there's a Tam Nirgash, then the whole deal is off, and it would be awesome. Now he says, Kate Mashma Miloshon Harashba, and this is all to beef up the first tzad in the Prima Gadin. What does the Rashba say that makes him guilty of this? He says that Kol, this is a quote from the Rashba, the Heliger Rashba, Kol Bela, meaning Blia, Heter, which was Mutter, Shenechlash, that was weakened, Viniklash, and it's another way of saying weakened, Asha Einbo Ela Nosei Tam Bar Nosei Tam, it's so far removed, is Eino Roy Lachel Olav Shem Isur. Now, I don't know the impact of this, the long-term repercussions of this Rashba, but the Rashba is saying that if you would find, in the case of a Blia, that Blia became so weak, and it was a Blia's heter, that it would be like Nosei Tam Bar Nosei Tam. Asha Einbo Ela Nosei Tam Bar Nosei Tam. He uses, the Rashba uses Nosei Tam Bar Nosei Tam as a catchphrase for a Bela that's Nechlash and Niklash. Again, I don't know what case, what scenario the Rashba is addressing, that he has a Blia that's described as Nechlash v'Niklash. I don't know whatever that is, but the Rashba, in order to emphasize that this is not something that's Asur, he compares it by analogy to the case of Nat Bar Nat. And in the case of Nat Bar Nat, the Tam apparently is Niklash. And that's the old Nechlash Svara, which was the first tzad in the Prima Gadim Sofek. V'eino roi lochel olav shem isa, says Rashba, if you have a tam that's Nechlash, then it cannot generate a shem isa. I mean, we're going to have to ask ourselves the following question. What happens if you cook in a trefa pot? Are you allowed to eat the contents together with basar heter? Why not again say that the tam is a tam Nechlash? V'chein mashma v'loshen ra'o, v'chein mashma v'loshen ha'me'iri. Oh. But then he has another Rashba. The first Rashba was in the Torah Sabbais. The second Rashba is in his commentary on Shas, and this is on the top line on the left column. And he says, "Aval tam sheni ein bo koach lesser lacherim." That sounds more like din. That what he's saying is that, and he quotes the Sefer Trumas, also one of the Rishonim, who says, "Ein o tam niflat choshev no sein tam." You see, he says it's not called an asidus tam, meaning that the principle of tam ki ikur doesn't apply. And he's going to try to prove this from other Rishonim, including the Mordechai, that we're talking about something that's not called a tam. And if you take a look towards the end of this paragraph, we'll have to end with Mincha at this point. He says that Ein od tam nifl choshev tam, or choshev tam isur, the Mordechai says. Mashma kitzad beis. It sounds like the Mordechai and other Rishonim are holding like the second side, which means it's all a matter of din. And therefore, even if you were to taste it and say, well, I taste the tam, it would still be mutter. Okay, Rav Osai, so we'll stop here. Let's make a note of where we got up to. And in this next piece, he has a reveal, but then on the next page, which I hope you have photocopies, if somebody can take the time to photocopy so we don't have that headache.
Tough Kuf Yud Tes.
You have it.
I have it.
All right, so if somebody can make more copies.